Blog Talk Radio.
This is what we're live to.
Hey guys, look at that. The music stopped.
I'm going to kill Block Talk Radio. I can't even make a joke about it, Matt. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm laughing really, really hard. So first off, hi everyone. This is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with your other host,
Satish Rep. And we apologize for the technical difficulties that allowed you to hear smooth jazz for the first minute and a half of our podcast.
Well, actually, what's very interesting is, you might think, oh, that's really nice technical difficulty music then. No, that's the music that was playing.
Yeah,
that was the technical difficulty.
It's funny because, you know, it's like, yeah, it was smooth and all that. But inside, Matt and I were steaming because, you know, I don't know if we're allowed to say this on air, but Blog Talk Radio kind of betrayed us.
If any of you have seen Scrubs, the picture with the subtitle caption screams internally. That was us for about... Okay. Yeah, mind you, that wasn't just random jazz music, if you're wondering. It's actually from Twin Peaks. You played it on the show before because obviously this show does a lot of homage, you know, homages to Twin Peaks, which apparently I've heard that it may be getting another season, which is also something very interesting.
What an interesting thought. But yeah, you know, putting technical difficulties aside, basically we were trying to get it together to test out our music, and Blog Talk Radio said, so you'd like to have this playing permanently with no way to stop, right? And there we go.
Which is frightening. Yes. So we were choosing, Satish. What do you think we'd like our opening song to be tonight? I guess it was chosen for us.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, it was frightening, which I suppose ties into what this episode, you know, the theme was. But
this episode was very frightening.
This episode, you're not supposed to talk about Fortune, but... You know, there used to be a running joke where it's like, hey, mods are asleep, post ponies, right? And mods are asleep, do this. And so, for me, this episode was basically, senses are asleep, do whatever the fuck you want. Like, that was the whole blank are asleep thing for me, this episode. And to be fair, I loved every second of it. I just stood there sitting and thinking, what else are they going to try and slide by? And what else are they successfully able to do here? Because there were a lot of... moments that, while hilarious and while very intriguing, I sat there and thought, that's not a Disney Channel approved moment.
No, I would argue that Alex Hirsch went up to the censors, up to anyone he could, with the rule book, and basically said, there's no blood in this. There are no curses in this. There are no saturations with this. So we can do anything else. And they nodded, you know, kind of with a very, like, mostly shrugged, honestly, just went, you know, disapproving nod, but I have to see it that way. Because there weren't, okay, there were things that were, again, not Disney Channel approved, but in no way do I think, like, adult humor, you know, like, the difference between, let's say, something being on Adult Swim, which would, I mean, and honestly would be terrible for this show, but, you know, yeah, you know how, you know what I'm trying to get at here. The idea that it was off, of course, for a Disney Channel show, but the idea that, you know, or you may have went up to them and said, listen, this is scary for children, you know, and honestly, it worked. And I think maybe you and I and many others were able to be scared, I think, because, again, even though we really try and say, like, oh, you know, this show is more of a family show, it's becoming, you know, kind of teenager-oriented, we still try, you know, come into it thinking, you know, in the back of our heads, oh, it's, you know, Disney Channel. We try not to, because we don't want to, like, label it, because we really hope that, you know, anyone who's labeled it as a, you know, quote-unquote Disney Channel show really looks at it and sees that it is a bit different than what is usually on Disney Channel. Unless, of course, you're looking at Phineas and Ferb. From what you tell me, it's a great show.
Yeah, and you know, before we get too much into this, of course, our podcasts that aren't wrestling are usually a bit more free-form. So feel free to call in at 718-664-9468. You can call in to jump on the air with us, or just to listen. I mean, right now we've actually got someone in the queue who called in just to listen, which is excellent. If you don't hit the one button, we won't be alerted to, like, this little question mark thing, and we won't have to put you on air. If you do hear something that makes you want to jump on air with us, you can hit one, and we'll put you through. We'll talk with you. Have a nice night, you know? We're calmer now, I suppose, Matt and I, and I think we can actually go ahead and do this podcast on what was essentially a very good episode.
Puny Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, I think just by starting off this episode, because it's a bit more free-flowing, but I do want to go through, you know, certain... What's great is that usually, right, especially for our wrestling shows or many of our other shows, usually I'll have actual events that transpired that interest me. And that happened here, too. But I want to say that more than half of my notes are quotes, which is an issue, I think. But more than half, not with the show, but just my note-taking. But I have to be honest, it's just more than half of my notes are quotes. I mean, the fact that you start this off, the show off, and this episode off, rather, and you have, you know, it, looking through it from a perspective, you know, of, like, the traveler, you know, the one whose, you know, car broke down by the side of the road. And then you instead just, a place so remote that no one can hear your screams. Forget I said that. You know, it's like, Stan... What are you doing here, Stan? And just the idea of just, you know, and he just starts laughing maniacally, and he goes, oh, sorry, it was something I was thinking about earlier.
Yeah, and just there's a lot of stuff here that kind of, and there was, you know, the episode name being Little Gift Shop of Horrors is obviously a little tribute to the Simpsons, like, Treehouse War episodes, you know, what used to happen there. And
it's
you know,
interesting, like, several things.
Yeah, it's Hirsch has mentioned, you know, on his own that he was a big fan of The Simpsons and X-Files growing up. And you can definitely see that in his work with Gravity Falls, because there is something like the humor in The Simpsons. And at the same time, you've got this whole, like, this kind of non-canon episode, because there was a little quote behind the Claymation Cyclops you know, non-canon.
Yes.
Oh, and, you know, the Claymation, by the way. They got the guys
brilliant.
Who used to do Robot Chicken.
That's funny. That's wonderful.
To do this episode's claymation, which I thought was really funny.
Oh, yeah. The name of the episode is not only a play, of course, on the Treehouse of Horror. It's also a play on, you know, the play and the movies, you know, Little Shop of Horror.
Right.
And then, of course, the episode itself, you know, when you delve into it, it's really, you know, Tales of the Crypt,
which I think is
also excellent.
Awesome, because we had that last year in Bottomless Pit, where we had, you know, the little stories of, like, voiceover and, you know, and Seuss's pinball machine story, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that stuff was cool. You know, Bottomless Pit was a fun little, you know, it's a very amazing way to do filler, because filler indeed, but it's very, very entertaining, you know, and... this had a lot of elements of what I think is almost a glimpse into the future for Gravity Falls, where it's not going to be Adult Swim level, but it looks like Hirsch really does have the ability to do whatever the hell he feels is appropriate.
Yes. You know, again, minus a few things here and there, because I would argue that, you know, let's say you look at the hand thing, right? I would argue that, you know, Stan's hands, his arms, you know, they had this look of, you know, oh, it was like phased out, let's say. Like as if, you know, as if, like literally phased out, like lasers not slicing, just like dimensional portals, right? Which again, got by sensors. Why were the hands able to do what the hands could do? Because when you buy a rubber hand at the store, it has that on the bottom, you know, the exact replica. So in theory, you know, again, if anyone would ever complain before the episode got out, Hirsch could easily, again, buy or show them references to rubber hands that people use. All, you know, like, let's say, like, the idea of just, oh, yeah, I put a hand, you know, let's say on the front yard, you know, people getting crazy and very creative with Halloween. So you can buy rubber hands anywhere, strangely enough. So there were a lot of things that, again, to us were just like, that seems crazy. But, you know, the fact that they can get by the sensor, same thing with, like, you know, you can't flip someone off. Like Stone Cold, if we're jumping the rest, like Stone Cold Steve Austin can't come back and flip anyone off anymore. Even if he comes back for that rumored one more match that we're hearing about, he can't flip anyone off like he used
to,
right?
On that topic, real quick, by the way.
Yes.
I know that they're listening to us, Matt. I know that Triple H has someone listening to our podcast. I don't know if he's listening to our Gravity Falls podcast, but he's got someone listening to our wrestling podcast. And you're aware of why I say that.
Right, right. We'll talk about this next week on our Monday Night Raw show. But
Oh my God.
Very interesting. Yes. So, you know, back to Gravity Falls. The idea that, you know, even looking at, let's say, the flipping off thing, right? So the idea was like, oh, we can't flip people off. What about even mentioning it daily? And they were like, damn, it's not in the rules. So the idea that it's just like, you know, can I have my hands back? There's a certain gesture I want to share with you.
Yeah, that, you know, that was one of the things immediately where I was like, okay, what? All right, so this is the first thing that was the hands-off story, right? Not the hands-off story, but the hand. Yeah, he did call it hands-off, right?
Possibly.
Yeah, but that was the first story,
so
right?
I'd like to put in our caller for hands off. Hello, caller.
What's up?
Is this a Daniel?
Yes, this is a Daniel.
Daniel?
He's also disappointed with you. He's just like, get the fuck off with that shit. Just call me by my name now. You know it's okay. Like, who gives a shit?
Can I ask a question, though? Well, about this episode, like, why does Stan have the Eye of Sauron in his house?
I thought that was awesome. I flipped.
I was watching.
No, that's not for sale. Like, oh.
I was watching this episode with you know, one of our co-hosts who sadly was unable to be on this episode, Ashley Colpen. And I was watching the episode with her, and she just nodded in approval. She was just so giddy at the fact that the Eye of Sauron was just there. And of course, just something to be slipped in like that, where it's just, you know, it can't be made mention before. It's like, no, wait, that's not for sale. It's like, why do you have that?
It's amazing.
Especially mixed with all the other things that clearly aren't real.
Yeah, we're led to believe it was casually out in the open because that's how the person got their hands on it.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that thing, what was that thing that was, that thing that we saw.
You mean the one with too many orifices?
Yes.
What's up?
Remember
that thing, Satish?
That thing that had hands and eyes and everything with no body?
Yes.
Too many orifices for you, Daniel?
Yes. Too many orifices.
I gotta be honest with you though. I gotta be honest. Witches be crazy.
Yeah. I love that little moment. Witches be tripping on the.
Witches be tripping. Thank you.
Witches be tripping. I took a screenshot of that and put it on the Gravity Falls Reddit because I laughed so hard at just witches be tripping, huh?
Wait a minute. The censors have. Did this? I like to think the censors are now just a bunch of Generation X people who grew up with MTV and just don't care anymore.
No, I want to say that too, but it all counts about, you know, all that matters is the money. And honestly, I have to say that Gravity Falls gives them enough viewers that that's, I think, why they can back up a bit. Where if Gravity Falls, had about maybe like half of its viewership, they probably wouldn't cancel it. But I think they'd be like, listen, Hirsch, we own it. You know, but with the way it's bringing in such, you know, talk and everything, and that, I mean, I don't even think there's a season one box set just yet, but I can bet you money that when they release them, let's say through Amazon Instant Video, the Prime, and all that stuff, people are paying money to get it, like through iTunes too. Like, I'm sure there are people that will sit there and go, honestly, this is how much I love Gravity Falls, and they'll pay like $2 per episode if for some reason they can't catch it live.
Also, I hope.
Not only do you have people catching it live, but personally, I recently just got TiVo. So I will be TiVoing it. Even if, let's say I'm not home at the time and I have to get it through other means, I still have it on TiVo. I've still given them like a watch, even though I wasn't able to see it live, because on Mondays we do our Monday Night Raw show, so we have to see Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
So that's still another rating they get.
Even though sometimes you really want to switch the channel. Like during that.
Well, you don't have to sometimes, Daniel, because sometimes you could see it on Friday, or in this case, or this episode, you could have seen it on the Saturday before Monday.
Actually, you could have seen it tonight, too.
Oh, that's funny. Did not know that.
It was on Disney XD tonight as a replay around 8:30.
We don't even know.
Well, we all know the real meat's coming next episode anyway.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, the next episode, A promises to blow the roof off the entire community.
Pretty much.
Just based on one sentence or so of description.
Old Man
McDonald. I can't wait till we do that one. Oh, right, that one. Thank you for, yes.
Yeah, Society, it's called Society of the Blind Eye, and supposedly the description is that, Dipper and Mabel, along with Old Man McGucket, discover a secret society in Gravity Falls. And
right.
It seems like we're going to get a huge story development right around Halloween, too, which will be cool.
Which will be at the end of this month.
So sadly, we have to wait till the end of this month.
Yeah,
but
2 weeks from Monday, October 27th, I believe, is the debut day for Society of the Blind Eye. So we're all kind of waiting in, this anticipation here.
You know, this is going to be my Halloween. This is going to be my Halloween tradition now. I'm going to sit around, get a bunch of candy, and watch Gravity Falls.
I mean, honestly, I think that's what's great about a show like this, because in my opinion, maybe it's just me, maybe it's the fact that I haven't really been watching kids' shows for obvious reasons, like a lot of kids' shows. And once again, you know how we feel about Gravity Falls, it's on a kids' network, right? So the idea is, I feel that they've kind of dropped off on, most kids' networks have dropped off on their feeling of Halloween pride, or they'll just stick to Christmas. And Halloween will just be whatever, right? But I remember, I don't know about you, Satish, but I remember when I was younger, when I was a kid, when they had Fairly Odd Parents, they would always have a Halloween episode.
Even
something.
There was always themed stuff for a lot of shows. And, Gravity Falls gave us Bottomless Pit last year, which was their kind of equivalent of a Halloween episode.
Well, Summerween.
That, too.
Was actually released in October.
Right, which is huge, of course. That's the one we take for granted because we forgot. Yeah, direct Halloween reference.
Yeah. So I would say I really enjoy that, But anyway, Daniel, how do you feel about the fact that, Halloween tradition is coming back and hopefully Gravity Falls can keep it on? How do you feel about that?
As a kid, I was not allowed to celebrate Halloween. So at least I now have a tradition for it.
That's nice.
It's nice, actually. I don't even know what to say. I was going to be like, Daniel, for the thousands listening minus, the thousands listening, for about five that are listening, you could tell us something about that. I mean, it's nice that you've got a Halloween tradition now, and now it makes me want to watch Summerween and buy you candy.
Yeah. I want to go to Who's It's and What's It's.
About several times?
Several
honestly,
times.
I would rather have acceptably masculine collectibles.
Yes, I would.
My favorite one, acceptably masculine collectibles with Wendy's dad. Oh, man.
Yes, that was my favorite. Manly hands.
But which one is your which one was your favorite out of the three?
My favorite was a Baconese.
Oh, you mean out of the three? I thought you meant the stores. I was like, baby parts.
Yes.
No, but out of the three, I have to admit, I think I like the last one the most because of the fact that, you know, the references to claymation, as a guy who, you know, enjoys film and animation, the references to claymation were just wonderful, especially when they made direct references with the skeleton. That was a direct reference, not only to most of the, you know, the older films that had that, but also the fact that, you know, the third Evil Dead film, Army of Darkness, literally had them fighting against claymation, you know, skeletons in this, you know, giant battle at the end. So it was just, in my opinion, a very nice reference to that. Even though there, of course, were films before it that had it as well. So in theory, Army of Darkness could have been referencing those films. But still, you can, you know.
And also they had the thing that goes like, wow, real claymation is really expensive. This is really, really expensive.
Because it was.
Yeah, and there's also the cipher towards the end, I think, was all animation is black magic. Which made me chuckle a little bit. Like, they were kind of ribbing themselves here.
Yeah, of course. You know, they, again, they're very good, obviously. You know, I mean, the idea that just, and, you know, of course, like Daniel said, you know, the idea was just like, yeah, it kind of was, you know, expensive-ish. I mean, CGI is really less expensive. You know, that's the thing. It's like, it isn't like, you know, even cheap, you know, like, obviously you might think, oh, well, you know, like, what about crazy CGI? But no, CGI can be less expensive than claymation because of, you know, again, moving everything inch by inch by inch by inch and, you know, getting people to, you know, create these and everything. It was an expensive art form. And, of course, again, art form. So the idea where it's like, no, heart is dead, you know, like, there's no heart in it was such a huge tagline. In the change between, you know, claymation to CGI, because the idea of, you know, it's like the difference between, let's say, making puppets or making the suits in the 90s for the live-action version of the Ninja Turtles versus the newer Ninja Turtle movie. You know, the idea of, well, where's the heart, you know? So it was very interesting to have that line come up. And, of course, it made me laugh, but it made me really go, like, wow. Like of course, they know their stuff, but it really made me sit there and go, damn, you guys know your stuff.
But the guy, but they even explained it like, kid, I'm not like we make somebody go scene by make somebody move inch by inch, like that's like 2,000 rolls of film, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, listen, I'm not a masochist, okay? I made them autonomous, and now they can just go, oh, man.
Yeah, but
so your favorite was the Baconator. That was your favorite.
A Baconator, yes. Squeal.
That's another one I have way too many quotes from. I just, we'll have to talk about them later, but I just have way too many quotes.
Yeah, I mean, Neil deGrasse Tyson did a really good job being the pig. And, you know, not only do I like
him
as a human being, but, that was Neil deGrasse Tyson. And
I was wondering who their big guy was. Or big, you know, big cameo.
It's funny
was.
Because, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, of course, world famous, you know, astrophysicist, super genius. And he has an incredible sense of humor. So, of course, they reach out to him and are just like, hey, can you play a genius pig for us? And he jumps at the idea to be able to do this. And it just made me smile because I found the whole thing amusing. And it was like this cute little mini story. Of like, oh, Waddles had intelligence, but then realized he just really wanted to have his stomach petted.
Yes. No, what I enjoy is that, you know, not only, you know, was that, you know, the fact that it was just him realizing, where it's just like, you know, even though no matter how smart you are, you know, what matters is your friends. And if you can't make the one person in the world that you love happy, then what's the point? And it's like, wow, you know, that is a really good, as we always bring up the fact that, you know, kids are watching. They'd say, you know, for some people, they're like, oh, but, you know, it's like, sure, hey, guess what? Kids are watching. So sometimes some nice morals here or there are nice. So that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
So, Daniel, before we have to let you go, what did you enjoy the most about Baconings?
Basically just Grenda getting a jetpack and Candy getting a laser gun and says, death to all my enemies.
That was perfect. I think what's great about this show, and you can tell that, you know, Hirsch is a fan of some of the, you know, other you know, kinds of like, let's say, you know, what is it, like Simpsons and possibly even like, you know, Family Guy, in the sense that things can go on in the background, possibly even off screen, but it's still just as funny, which is the one thing I think I'll give something like Family Guy, where, you know, you can have, let's say, like, you know, like, let's say Lois and Brian have a completely normal conversation. And then in the background, like, you know, Stewie is trying to control Chris via mind control, and then, you know, he loses his control, and then Chris is trying to kill him, or something along those lines. You know, the idea of just, this is completely normal in the front, but then no one realizes that in the background it's like World War III. So the idea of, you know, just like, oh, it was nice when we did this for Candy. And then you hear Candy, like, he said, death to all my enemies. And they're like, oh, that was not a good idea. And they're laughing about it.
But my one problem is, like, I know Mabel, the only one person you don't want to, I know Waddle's sacrifice was big. But Mabel, your pig could have solved the secrets of the universe.
It wasn't meant to be. You know, it'll happen more one day. Also, let's be honest here. Are we going to give that responsibility to a pig?
Good point.
No, pigs are awesome, by the way.
What do you mean responsibility to a pig? He was smarter than everybody in the entire house.
Anyone else could have been that smart if they had rubbed themselves with the Perceptus Shroom.
I thought was interesting. I'm glad that they mentioned non-canon towards the end, like with Cyclops, because like...
No, but here's the thing, though. We've seen those, though, in the book before.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I want to believe that that's not actually what they do, because if that is what they do, that's going to be a really broken story device. You know what I mean?
Well, arguably, you can have a situation where, you know, you could say, oh, dang, we can't find them anymore. Because, let's say, the creator of the notebook would have burned them all.
I'm okay with that.
Which would explain, maybe, where it's like, hey, but at least they grew there. Like, we could have smelled them. We could have gained their intelligence. You look at the entirety of Gravity Falls, that's why we are the way we are. The creator of the notebook burned them. They don't even exist in our soil.
Yeah, I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Non-canon, I think, in the sense that it's, like, obviously, like, Stan isn't going to do this to someone, I hope. But, like, I think that's why, like, in a way, you know, that's why they set it up this way. Where Bottomless Pit, I believe they were telling real stories, or were they telling fake stories in Bottomless Pit?
I don't know.
Okay. What matters?
It's not defined, is it?
I'm not sure if it was, but what the point is in this one, you can definitely tell that he was trying to set it up more like to be like, hey, listen, you know, like, I mean, he even said, hey, you want this magical pig? Yeah, you know, I mean, look at the story about the they got for it. Trying to just show, like, listen, kids.
But see, here's the thing, though, and I guess one of the important things about the non-canon specification, even if all the stories were made up, he drugged him at the end.
That's the thing. I think even that story itself is trying to be like the entire thing's a non-canon.
Right, no, I agree, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that was arguably my favorite part of the episode, because I did not think they would do that in this show.
It's just, even if you were trying to think of the craziest things they could do, that wouldn't be one of them. Like, arguably, which is what I like about this show, you would probably, in your mind, in our mind, because we're older, in our 20s, we would go to murder before drugging and putting on display.
Yeah, because I was wondering what it was, because knowing the realm of Gravity Falls, like, that could have been, like, a mind control thing, for all I know. And so it was good that it was kind of, like, I guess somewhat explained. But it just kind of caught me for a second, where he was just like, should have bought my merchandise while you had the chance. So I was like, and so you drug him.
At that, I'm like, Stan.
Okay, you know, it was such
like,
a John Cena move.
And
I was
he's
so,
like, I'm a jerk. Yeah, he's like, yeah I'm a jerk.
It was such a John Cena move. I was really impressed.
Yeah.
Why is it a John Cena move?
Can't
because
that's what he would do to win the title.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think of Stan and his affiliation with money as like John with the title, where John's sitting there talking to Triple H, and he's like, you know, let me tell you why I should be number one contender, and then narrates a story. Triple H doesn't really buy it, so he narrates another story about how many odds he's overcame. Triple H believes it, but he's not really convinced. the last time around. You know, he lays it down, like, present day, I'm better than everyone else on the roster, even though it's not true. It's not buying it. So John, you know, drugs Triple H and forces him to sign a paper that says, John Cena is the undisputed number one contender for all titles now.
I thought he was going to
put John,
Triple H
you know,
in a
John
container.
Whispers. John whispers in Hunter's ear, just, should have gave me the title shot when you had the chance. And that's it.
Oh, I thought he was going to whisper, no one would ever believe you. And he realized that the entire time, John Cena has been Bill Murray.
What? Okay. Now you gotta let me go, guys. Cause
yeah, we can leave you on that. We can leave. Yeah, that's where I think this is the first caller that ever said, you know what? I want to get out. I want to leave.
I love you guys, though. See you in college.
Never.
We love you too, Daniel.
My question is this, Daniel. Would you like us to put you back into the listeners' corner, or would you like to listen to your computer?
To the listeners' corner. Away.
Okay. God, I hate that guy.
You put him in the listeners' corner.
I was kidding, Satish. If you could say something, I was kidding. Well, also, by the way, you know, the idea of Tales of the Crypt, by the way, wasn't just from the content, of course. My notes tell me, Tales designed to sell my merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
As with many of the other quotes, seriously though, this episode was nutso. It's my first time using that word, but I think it's Stan.
Yeah, I mean, Stan's character was definitely turned up a little bit in this episode in terms of he was hamming it up to be evil, but just, I don't know. I mean, I guess we could debate about it because, you know, as with all Gravity Falls, I mean, when we really like the episode, it's really hard for us to do this. And so whatever we tail off into is cool. And I was just thinking, like, for a second, like, do you think that the actions of Stan in terms of drugging somebody for an exhibit, do you think that's within the realm of what he would do?
Well, I think that was a joke, you know, of course, again, non-canon. I think he would, but I don't. The reason why I feel like it's non-canon is the fact that the person could move in the exhibit. So I feel like, you know, he wouldn't do that. Like, I know this might sound crazy, but I feel like he would have gone all the way, where he would have taxidermied the guy. So the fact that he didn't, I feel like that's where it's non-canon. He wasn't evil enough. It was because, you know, they had to keep him alive not only for the censors, which, again, another way you screw up by the censors, but they also had to keep him alive for that lovely joke at the end with the tic-tac-toe.
Yeah, which was amusing.
Very amusing. Just let her be circle. No, was it let her be circle?
Yeah, no, it was
Was that it?
No, she wanted to be, she wanted to be circle, then she wanted to be X, then she wanted to be circle, then she wanted to be X.
Whenever it turned out that she was going to lose, she wanted the other side.
I completely forgot what I was going to say now. Damn. Oh, did you notice the agents in this episode as well?
Yes, I noticed one in the background.
They were both there.
Of the then I didn't notice both. I only noticed one in the background when they were getting the watch and the witch situation.
Good. Yeah, that was the first one. That was Agent Powers, I think. Yeah, because
he's
the one who looks like Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Nixon, I'm sorry. He looks like Richard Nixon. So he was there in the watch one. When they panned out to bowling, I forgot what that was for.
The bowling was the fact that he had the metal, what was it, Mabel made him hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they panned out to bowling, one of the people watching was the other agent.
That's interesting. I'll go back
so
to that
just,
right now.
Just your little,
phone.
You know, just your little fun, like, hey, there's the other agent.
That's nice. And I like that they even, they, of course, they know, you know, Alex Hirsch and everyone else knows that, you know, they're going to catch on before these episodes have already been made. So they know, you know, that people are going to catch on while watching it. So the idea is split them up. You know, can you find them now?
And it was funny because also the Richard Nixon Agent Powers looking one, he was pretty easily spottable. So I think it was almost a tease where he sits and is like, ah, there's your agent for the episode, and you don't notice the one later on, where you're like, oh, man.
Yes, because I just paused it, and it's actually so quick that it's a quick zoom right in. You know, and I mean, if you're too focused on the fact that you're like, wait, what, bowling? You know, because another thing, too, I think I enjoy, at least in this episode, they are able to put a lot of really funky things in there that upon a first watch, you're just like, what? Like, you know, and that can easily distract you. And I think it can easily distract a lot of people. Like, I think it's honestly very hard to watch an entire episode, at least the first time around, looking to the left, looking to the right, looking behind the characters who are, you know, who are being focused on. And, of course, that's being done, you know, on purpose.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's not like I have a problem with watching the show more than once, to be honest with you. You know, and
oh, of course not.
I won't say that about every show. I mean,
right.
So it's special for me to sit there and think, man, I really love watching this, and I would love to watch it again. And a lot of what happens is I'll watch it, and then I'll watch it again with another crowd because some friends
right.
haven't been able to see it. So that's something.
Right.
And so you pick up some things that you wouldn't have before, and then you see some ciphers that you may not have noticed, or, you know, people will have them translated for you, because the Gravity
right.
Falls Wikia is really, really good at what they do.
Of course. You know, we always look up ciphers on their website because, I mean, they're always so quick with their, the community is, but they're always so quick at updating it on a place that you can just easily search a bit less than, for me anyway, something like Tumblr or Reddit.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the Reddit community is something now I'm part of, which is something I wasn't before. But
right.
because they have discussion threads through the episodes, and it's nice to have people there, you know, to kind of sit there and make you feel like, hey, my obsession with Gravity Falls is perfectly normal.
Oh, well, it is. You know, this is a show. I mean, of course, I usually have no shame when it comes to, you know, saying who, it's kind of funny. You know, I was going to say, okay, I have no shame with saying, hey, I watched this. However, I'm laughing because my first sentence was, I have no shame with exposing myself. And then I thought
yeah,
about it.
That's why I laughed for a second. I'm like, wait a minute. Did he do that on purpose? Are we not doing phrasing anymore?
Yeah, no, I was about to, and you heard it coming, didn't you?
Yes.
Damn it. phrasing. It's all happening tonight, everyone. It's because of the fact that it wasn't in Gravity Falls, so we have to bring sex to it, because of course you can't have a good show without sex in it. I mean, you think about something like Game of Thrones, and you're like, well, it's only good because, you know, there's
well,
naked
to be
people
fair,
in it. Like, well,
you know, the old hag wanted it.
I was like, what? But
she
if,
was,
no, you're
she,
right.
she wanted it. She was ready.
Speaking of, you know, Game of Thrones. She had apparently, according to our usual co-host, Ashley Colpin, the hand throne that she had is reminiscent of the Game of Thrones throne from many of the promotional.
You know, ignoring the fact that it's a hand throne.
Yes. Also, the handelabra.
That made me laugh.
Yeah. It was interesting, especially because, you know, recently I learned of a Pokemon named Chandelure. So the idea of candelabra, I sat there and I thought, this is great.
That's funny for me because I forgot. Like, I've known this for a while, and you've learned about them because of the giveaway that we're doing, I presume.
Yes, which we'll talk about at the end of our show if you aren't
correct.
Aware of it just yet. Right. But and also, by the way, I just that they turned this into a home makeover show, you know, in this
yeah,
little...
I love
in
that.
This,
a
in
little
this
extreme makeover, you know, cave edition, which was
yeah.
glorious. Because it fits Mabel's character.
Yes, it does. But I personally, I want to either, you know, I want to tweet Alex Hirsch and just ask him how. Because, I mean, how did this happen? You know, the idea that, because listen, of course, you know, I believe I'm creative. I believe you're creative. You know, we come up with some really fun ideas. Hopefully, you know, sooner than rather than later, we can turn it into, let's say, a YouTube channel. What? But seriously, you know, we have a lot of fun stuff that comes to our mind. We're like, dang, we should do. But still, some of the ideas that I see in Gravity Falls, it truly makes you believe that everyone's different. You know, because people can come to, you know, certain conclusions, even about, like, shows' plots, and people can look and make theories about the show and see where it's going. And, you know, and of course, everyone's different, but you're always going to have one person that's going to get it right, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just the most out there thing. But in this case, I doubt that there was, you know, one or at least more than one person who would say, this is definitely going to turn into a home makeover show at some point. Like, why would it not, right? That's just normal. So that's what I want to, you know, I want to tweet at Alex Hirsch. I want to get him on this show. And I want to say, Alex, Mr. Hirsch, how? You know, who came up with that idea? Like I really want to be a fly, you know, on the wall of their think tank, where it's just, you know, where would the witch live? Witch Mountain. Got it. So, witch lives on Witch Mountain. What would happen? She lives in a cave with all the hands. Well, I mean, actually, yeah, fair enough. She has all these hands. What are they doing? They're moving around their hands. All right, what happens next? Well, she just wanted love. And it's like, honestly, you can kind of see that, maybe. Well, yeah, you know, she's older. She doesn't, you know, look up to what people would consider, not us, but even people would consider the standards of beauty. So, all right, she wants love. Fair enough. But she can't get it because of her home. Home makeover edition. Where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, there's a few things that you get. And then all of a sudden, I don't know where that just pops up and you go, that's just the Gravity Falls thing you feel. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't, yeah, I don't think of a lot of people that can just, I'm so excited, can just jump into it. It's such a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the show is almost unique in a way. Because of the fact that it's able to do this kind of ridiculousness. Because you look at, in essence, what we saw, the three little bits, one of them being about this hag that curses Stan, who actually tried to pay for the watch, by the way. That's funny.
Oh, yeah,
he actually made an attempt to pay in the beginning, which I thought was amusing.
Yes, but she could, it's a situation like the monkey's paw, where, you know, she could tell, like, no, you know, no, 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 no. And it's like, well, I took him anyway. And then, bam, just he curses.
Yeah, and I laughed when I laughed, by the way, at the parody of the, ah, wait, is this regular old or curse old?
Yeah, that was great because of the idea that,
you know
old
curses will make you, yeah. And just the general, like, look in the mirror, oh my God, I'm cursed.
Mm-hmm.
And it just cracked me up so much. Just like, wait, no, this is my regular face.
Yeah, that and then him muffling her with the oven mitt. and then another one, something that another way you can love the absurdity of something just by the fact that it's so absurd. Can we play toss me a dozen eggs like we always do? No, Jimmy, no, not today.
Yeah, it's not today. And then he throws them anyway, and I'm just like, how does that, what's going on?
Oh man. Do you want to play with the what the heckatron? What the heck a headron?
That was amusing too because of the, now that's false advertising I can get behind.
Yes, that, and if you notice a little tiny writing on the front, it said, and I swear this is the exact wording, I swear, from the makers of Stressorak and Annoy, and then I couldn't read the other part,
yeah,
which is great because I was
makers,
struggling.
Right.
Yes, and I was struggling to read it, and I realized I was getting annoyed, and I got really pissed. And I think that's what they were trying to do.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. Also, by the way, was it just me, or when you saw Maymay and the Hog, you thought, that could be us one day?
I really liked that, by the way. I don't.
Yes.
It's just like one of the little kiddish parts of the show, but I really liked that whole little radio station thing.
The reason why I enjoy it the most, I think, is because we're going to do a Pokemon Crystal show on Friday, right? You, me,
yeah,
and our fellow co-host Tristan Walter. And you know, I've been playing Crystal recently, not even for the show. The show just happened to coincide. I'm a nerd, everyone. So playing Pokemon Crystal again recently, and I realized that there's this whole, you know, I forgot about the radio station. But you know what? They weren't that crazy for me until I realized, wait a minute, I can go inside, see this woman do Buena's password, which apparently is only Crystal only. But still, Buena's password. I look at everything. I see this giant, you know, the giant mic sprite, and I realize, wow, that's why I'm here today. I mean, I saw something like that when I was a child. I enjoyed it, and I remembered enjoying it as a child. It freaked me out. So it's nice that you can see something like this and realize that there are kids out there watching this going, damn, I want to be this one day. You know,
yeah,
I would
do
something like that one day.
There's something charming about Mabel's character, and I mean, it's just basically, you've got Mabel, who is, in a way, very similar to Dipper, but almost a foil. Because you have Mabel, who embraces everything there is to be about being 12 years old. You know, she sits there and she wants to make everybody happy. She's joyous. She's not. What's important is that she's not dumb. She is purposely choosing to engage in these actions
fun activity.
Yeah, not even childish, but fun, quote unquote fun is better because it's not that she's childish. So you look at Dipper on the other hand, and all he wants to do is not be this age. Because he wants to be respected and to find out something that makes him memorable. So in that sense, you have one of the reasons why these two work out so well. Because they have that at their core. Complete differences. But then when you look at, you know, they have the same interests in certain things. You can understand that they're both interested in adventure, but just for different reasons.
Yeah.
See, Dipper has it as an out for it's an out for his childhood because it's an important thing. And in the same vein, for Mabel, it's entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, and I love her way of being entertaining, where, you know, Waddles winks. It's just, whoa, not sure we can say that on the air.
And yeah, I laughed there and I felt like that was another one. Another one where it was like, is that like something that they would allow? Because that was clean. But it just makes me laugh where like there was a lot of jokes in this episode.
Yes. Well, what's interesting.
I'm glad they got through.
Yes. Another thing that they got through, which isn't something major, but it's something that you and I can talk about here. The perception room that we brought up once. Bringing up again the idea that, that people do mushrooms, certain types of mushrooms recreationally to get to a point where people see things, what I'm referring
to. It's obvious that the perception room was a reference to real life mushrooms and not the ones that we eat, of course, but acid.
No.
And so that's just really interesting because that one was a bit more loose, but anyone who's aware of what shrooms are could pick that up.
Right. And what's interesting, I feel, very, very interesting that I really enjoyed is that, it wasn't like, not that I've ever done it myself, but, you get older, people who have, he didn't administer it, as you would if you were to have mushrooms or, shrooms. He did it in a way that reminds me of very much like a witch doctor kind of thing, where he grinded it up, and it was really cool to me, I feel, because it brought kind of this magical essence to the scene where he could have just, plugged up his nose and ate it and you'd be like, right? But no, the idea that it's just, if I just, scrape it up and then put it on my forehead, it's going to sink into me. Which, that's just how it works, I guess. But, and then Waddles is just, actually, I think it smells lovely. I would like to eat it. And then you sit there, and it's just like, oh, dear, what's going to happen? And personally, I thought Waddles was going to take over the world, so I'm happy that he did not want to.
Yeah, I was glad that the pig didn't go evil, I'll be honest with you.
Yes.
Because in the short amount of time, I always expected, like, knowledge is power, too much knowledge, oh, my God. Just like, turning on Dipper and Mabel.
Yes, of course. And what I think is nice, I feel like, because I feel like the creators, and it's funny I always say Alex Hirsch, but I should give everyone credit, who works on this show. The creators, including Alex Hirsch, who is a creator, they know these tropes. So when they use the tropes, they use them either because they're entertaining or to poke fun at them.
Mm-hmm.
But they know the tropes. So they know that the idea of, the quote-unquote dumb thing, the dumb person, you look at, let's say, someone like Barry from American Dad, who he's actually been on medication to, take away his, his evilness, if you will. And because of that, he seems to be, what some would consider, a little bit slower than others. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the fact that he's on a certain kind of medication to take away his edge, if you will. And, sometimes with that medication, it does make you a bit more down than you were before in a way. So, the idea that instead of it being something like that, where it's just like, he was always plotting revenge. No, it's the idea that he loves them and he thinks, wow, how can I better humanity? Because you know what? So these human guys, right, they brought me into their home. They are treating me as their pet. And they really did not need to do that because I am a pig. And it's nice. It really is nice to kind of see that, you know, that that type of optimism from a pig. You know, and of course, you know, it's all the lines. Because now that I realize Neil deGrasse Tyson said these, I'm thinking they're hilarious. Just forgive me. My pig arms are cute and useful.
Yeah, no, when you put into perspective that an absolute genius was on air to do this stuff, you know,
there is more to life than fart noises and laughing at those fart noises.
It was really funny. It was just absolutely funny. Just good humor, good clean humor, you know, nothing risque. Mm-hmm. That was just simple, good storytelling. And, you know, most people would enjoy it. And because Waddles is a fun character. Yeah, he's just there. So
I would argue that's how they got him on, probably. Just, you know, just, hey, guess what? You know, hey, Mr. Tyson, we want you to voice over a pig that has gained sentience and is intelligent. What, is he going to be evil? No, actually, he wants to, you know, he wants to work for the betterment of mankind. Oh, sign me up.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that he sits there and thinks, yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, why would you not? You know, again, it's you know, something who, you know, again, the idea that, oh, God, it's become smarter. What's it going to do? It wants to help everyone. Well, that's actually, that's nice. Look, that might be the nicest thing, I think, throughout this entire episode.
What, that
out of all these
the pig
stories,
is not the, killing everything?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, well, that was the lighthearted story because hands-off was literally the hands would be removed. And, you know, the last one was based on Claymation Rebellion because of black magic.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for bringing that up, too. The fact that it just hit me that they brought up black magic. Yeah, they didn't call it, you know, satanic, et cetera, but the fact they brought up black magic, because, you know, usually stories that do bring up black magic usually have, let's say, like, white magicians to help counteract the black magic. But the idea that it's just like, you know, the idea is just like, oh, yeah, they were made with black magic. So what do we have to fight this? You, I guess?
I laughed out loud, by the way, at the whole, like, are you kidding me? Did you think I would actually animate those? I use black magic.
Yes.
And
I
laughed because it's like, claymation is hard. It just, like, it was almost like a tribute and mockery of themselves.
Of course. I think that my two favorite moments, which is strange because, I'm sorry, my two favorite lines, or, you know, one of them was more of an idea, but it still worked out very well, I think. And it wasn't even the last one, even though, again, the last one is my favorite overall. In the, you know, in Awakenings, the fact that Waddles had Nerf rockets that made sound effects like real rockets.
That cracked me up, just outstandingly. And he fired, like, four of them.
Yeah, because it was like, you know what, screw this goat. Oh, and the idea, too, by the way, that when he had to speak to the goat, he realized, let me speak in animal language. Or, either that or the idea that no matter what, right, when you learn a new language, when you get pissed off at someone, you immediately revert to...
You're still
going to
speak in, your immediate old language.
Yes.
Because I think... He didn't even learn English per se. He was just able to communicate with the, like, Stephen Hawking-esque, you know, keyboard
thing. Fair
enough.
Fair enough.
But it was funny.
But he was still able to learn it in a way where he can project, you know.
Oh, yeah, and understand what was going on.
Right. Right. Also, I love Grenda. You know, a voice that I love doing, by the way. I love doing Grenda. She said, an affront against... Oh, darn. I'm sick. An affront against nature.
Yeah, no,
that
was
wonderful.
That whole bit was fun, especially because, like Daniel alluded to earlier, just the whole, the candy getting a laser.
Yes.
It's like, death to all my enemies. I'm like, they're not even, they're dropping
I feel bad about,
as a word.
Yeah. I feel bad about being sick. I can't do Grenda's voice. I feel terrible.
It's funny, because you would think that would help.
Right? And also, of course, one of Waddle's last lines in the episode, you know, it's like, or talking about what he could, you know, what he could solve. Just your origins of life, the meaning of our existence. Why dudes have nipples?
That cracks me up, especially because knowing that was Neil deGrasse Tyson, just picturing Neil deGrasse Tyson saying, why do dudes have nipples? Made me laugh uncontrollably. It's like, this is a man who has helped humanity so much in terms of knowledge. And Why do dudes have nipples?
Yeah, no, it was just wonderful. There's a lot, again, a lot of good in this episode, and I enjoy the fact that, you know, I've mentioned this in other shows, but after Gravity Falls, I have to bring it up again. The idea that even though it's filler, it's so entertaining that you must have, like, a heart of coal, you know, to say, oh, but it meant nothing, I'm going to skip it.
Yeah, I mean, and this is not traditional filler, which is why it's worth not skipping. Because your
exactly.
traditional filler, I mean, it's decent, but, you know, you really can skip over it. This is not worth skipping over. You gain a lot
no.
by watching it. It's a lot of fun. I mean, there's no reason to really sit there and think, I'm not going to watch because no story development. Because part of the charm of Gravity Falls is the filler that doesn't feel like filler.
Yes, and, you know, before we have to go, it's just, you mentioned a lot of Claymation 1 earlier, but I just want to bring up, you know, some things that we didn't get to bring up. The fact that, you know, in the beginning when they're watching Stan's movie, right, just Mabel says, get ready for references we won't understand and words we can't repeat. And it's the idea that it's so accurate. And again, being a kid once, it's so accurate. I remember my dad being like, oh, yeah, I'll watch this movie with you. But remember, like, so I remember seeing Blade when I was, like, 8, but he was like, hey, don't curse. I know people in the movie cursed, but don't curse. And then now that I'm, you know, and I'm a bit older, I see some things that were in Blade that I go, oh, I understand that now.
I understand that now. Motherfucker!
Not even that, just other things. It's just wonderful. Like, I really enjoy that, you know, they're able to just skirt this line where it's just, we're actually saying things that are legitimate. And, you know, and then kids can go, wow, that actually is me when I watch a movie with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially a movie that, let's say, parents, you know, go, oh, this movie's really funny, and then, but they're old, so they haven't seen it in a while, let's say, so they're like, wait a minute, actually, kids, you can finish it, but don't do anything in this film.
Right, because, you know, that's ideally what you'd hope.
Right. But anyway, and of course, you know, one more line. It's like,
go for
you
it.
Know, the people that move these things are shut-ins. Those people are called animators.
Yeah, that's
no,
that was one of the things that made me laugh, where it was just like, they're obviously ribbing themselves here. But it
yes.
makes me wonder, also, like, how did that happen when the writers wrote
yeah.
that and went to the animators?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Like they must have been so happy to be referenced, because I think that's what it is at this point. We're happy to be referenced and we're not being called assholes in a way. You know, it's just, it's funny, you know.
No,
and, of course,
point
by the way,
of
it's becoming Gumby.
Yeah, that was a reference that we get.
Yeah.
And I'm glad.
It's just, we're okay. We're okay.
After they essentially killed him.
Yes. That's why non-canon had to be put in there. They were like, you know what, let's just put in non-canon.
Yeah, because Gumby Seuss is dead. Stan drugged somebody.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, we're going to have to end our show now. But, of course, you know, we love that you guys listen in. Keep on listening to our other shows. And we do a lot of other shows, you know, WWE. We do WWE pay-per-views, Dragon Ball Z, Bleach. I mean, now we're talking to Pokemon shows. You know, Gravity Falls, of course, Steven Universe. Gotham. You know, tomorrow we will be doing the Flash and Arrow Power Hour. And, by the way, right, speaking of Pokemon, tell everyone about our giveaway.
Right, so in the few seconds that we've had here, let me be quick. If you like us on Facebook, share our posts on Facebook, follow us on Twitter or on Tumblr, and reblog or retweet the post, you have a chance to win one of 6 very special, shiny, and competitively ready Pokemon, spooky Pokemon, for the month of Halloween. They're personally
yes.
from me, a mix of Chandelure, Gorgeist, Trevenant, some really fun stuff that you can check out on our website, our Tumblr, and you'll be able to see your way to win there. I assume Tumblr's the easiest way because most of you will have a Tumblr. If not, Twitter,
yes.
Facebook. You know, awesome for us, awesome for you. And, of course, as always,
yeah.
you can use that website to reach out to us for episode ideas and for advertising information.
Yes, and our Tumblr, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. Our Facebook,
mm-hmm.
just Those Guys on the Radio or Those Guys. And our Twitter, Those Guys Radio. Or currently, it's Professor Oak. Our Twitter, you know, our Twitter name. And, yeah, thank you guys for listening in. You also win 2 of the shiny Pokemon, depending on which version you win. So if you win Tumblr 2, you know, Facebook 2, or Twitter 2. You don't know which 2, of course. But you do know, you know, but again, go on our Tumblr and you'll be able to see which Pokemon you can win. Thank you guys for listening in, and good night. Play music for Dish.
It'll be about weed.
Well, I mean, do what you can. We're in the after hours archive now, so I mean,
we are. So are we safe?
I would argue that we're safe.
All right. I don't assume anybody listens to us that past the actual live point, do they?
Well, I mean, no one physically can, but I mean, they can easily go back and click, you know, to listen again.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, of course, anyone who couldn't listen live will. So, hello, people who couldn't listen live. How you doing? Don't worry. Don't think you're late to the party. I just got Pokemon X. Don't think you're late.
And that being said, this one goes out to Matt's girlfriend.
Every day, small weed, every day.